for the sermons of the immediate future, I'd like us to look at the record of God's faithfulness to people in the Old Testament. Okay, so we're going to look at every book of the Old Testament and see God's salvation in those records to people, and also His covenant love, which endures forever, as God's word says. And so this will be kind of like a wide lens view of God's work. And each sermon, we're going to do one or two books. It doesn't mean a sermon of great length, but it means a sermon that highlights the main truths of that book of the Bible. And to see that book of the Bible as God's love letter to us. That's a phrase many a preacher has used. You know, as you look in God's Word, what's the main purpose of the Word of God? Is it to tell us right and wrong? Well, that's a secondary reason. Is it to see great heroes of the faith and how they were tremendously obedient and so on? Now, that's kind of a legendary reason. You're not going to find too much of that, actually. Is it to for God to show Himself to us and His love and His plan of salvation and the mission that He is on? Yes, it is. Jesus said, you look in the Scriptures because they testify about Me. So Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Seeing His ways in Genesis, next week Exodus, week after that maybe two books, you know, sometimes teaming up for one message there. So the teachers that helped me with this, by the way, who did overviews of the Bible, very helpful. Larry Crabb did that. Norman Geisler, okay, did the historical overview of the Bible. David Wilkinson and Dr. Pellis, if you're familiar with him, there from the Sunday school. And so taking some of the main truths of God's Word, highlighting them throughout each book of the Bible. And so to honor God in that way, get to know His heart. And often this will be done not chronologically, but by theme. By theme it would be like this part deals with prayer, and so does chapter 12, and so does chapter 22, and so does chapter 3. Okay, sometimes it'll be like that. And the precedent for doing that, by the way, is people who followed the Lord themselves, they often quoted the Old Testament in that manner. Okay, so Paul, for example, in Romans chapter 3, when he talked about the sinfulness of humanity, he went from, just in 8 verses, he went Psalm 14, Psalm 5, Psalm 140, back to Psalm 10, over to Isaiah 59, okay, in consecutive presentations. So it's obviously okay by the Holy Spirit to do that type of thing. And so we, you know, when we study the Bible, we don't always have to say, let's take a whole chapter and go through every verse. It's one good way of studying the Bible. Another good way of studying the Bible is to take the themes that God presents in His Word over the course of a period of time. And so think of the 39 books of the Old Testament as God's love letter to us, and hear about His love in the book of Genesis. Now, some of you have been through walk through the Bible a long time ago, but this is kind of similar to that. You can actually pick 4 or 5 words that talk of God's great work in Genesis, and you get a great picture of Genesis, all the 50 chapters. Okay, a repetition of the words that shows God's action on behalf of people. Again, Genesis, not primarily about Adam and Eve or Abraham or even Joseph, primarily about the Lord. Okay, the main character. Reminds me of a saying, which I'll repeat, communion. The good news is not you do and you do and you do and you better do and you should do more. The good news is Jesus does. And Jesus does. And Jesus does all the more. Okay, and this is the salvation that He brings. So here's one way of looking at the book of Genesis. God's on a mission. Creation. What He does and what He accomplishes single-handedly. And then there's calamity. Adam and Eve turn away from God. There's calamity by chapter 6, another terrible calamity. Later on, the calamity of two cities getting wiped out. Sin is dealt with by Jesus. Okay? And then Christ's covenant is promoted in a number of different places. He promises, I will come and rescue the mess that human beings have made. That promise still holds true for us. Holds true for our heart in terms of salvation. Creation, calamity, covenant, and then compassion. How God begins to reach out to the nations through one of the rascal sons of Jacob. Okay, so if you keep those four words in mind, or four, creation, calamity, covenant, God's promise to be there for us when we can't be there for Him, compassion. You say, ah, that helps me remember what God did through the people like you and I who were in the book. In the book of Genesis. So here's Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. By the end of chapter 1, God said, let us make man in our image, in the image of God, and in our likeness, let us make them, and let them rule over the animals and everything that I have made. So God creates the universe, the heaven and the earth. God's the first environmentalist. Okay, you might have a love for the grass or trees. You like the garden thing, do you? You like your dog, your cat, your donkey. Okay, that's not just a little quirk you have. That's from God. Okay, God loves His creation. It is His handiwork. It gives Him glory. It worships Him. Okay, the heavens declare the glory of God. So all the stuff you see out there, and even in here, you have the wood and so on, shows the greatness of God, and it gives honor to God. Remember Jesus, even when He was coming into Jerusalem, He said, oh, you know, if the people don't praise Me, these rocks will praise Me. There's a lot of praises to God going on because of what He has made. That's the creation of God. Shows God's greatness. Hebrews says the builder is greater than the building. And we should keep that in mind. The builder, the Lord, is greater than what He has made, the universe. Behind me there's a beautiful wood backdrop put together by a fellow named Clyde Simpson, a faithful worshiper for many years, and did a wonderful job reminding us of the Lord. There's a cross in the middle. There's three parts representing Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The builder, Clyde Simpson, is greater than what he built. Okay? This wonderful piece of wood is not going to last forever. Our soul with Christ will last forever. Okay, so creation shows the greatness of the Creator. Paul said this, he said, God's divine qualities are seen in what He has made. God's fingerprint on everything. And so, surprisingly, right at the end of Genesis 1, the most dramatic creation of God is you and the people around you. Now, that's an amazing thing. Okay, that God would do that. I wish I could have on the screen photos of the most beautiful parts of creation. Grand Canyon. I'd pick sunsets and sunrises over, you know, various bodies of water. Purple Mountain majesties above the fruited plain and all that. And right next to those beautiful photos, I'd like to have one picture of whoever is walking down the street at this moment in downtown Irwin. Okay? Got the sneakers and the jeans on and the t-shirt, and there they are. Okay. Now, to the Lord, what is the greater work of His creation? Is it not the one man? He's walking down the streets of Irwin. Okay? If the Bible were to say, which one is fearfully and wonderfully made? Well, it would be the one. Okay? Only one. Which one is made in God's image? The Grand Canyon, or Mrs. McGillicuddy walking in the street of Irwin. It's her. She is. Look at that. You know, wonderful. And this is the truth of the Bible. Teaches us from the beginning unconditional respect for every person. Why? Made in the image of God. The very likeness of God. When you see them, you think, reminds me how great God is. This is unreal, you know, that God should make a person. So we have God's likeness in our frame. As one person said, in the creation order, we are the highest of sorts. Okay. Now, what does that do for your relationships and how you view yourself? First of all, it takes care of the self-esteem problem. Okay, it's not based on what I do. It's based on who God is. Powerful. Not based on my accomplishment. Not based on my salary. Not based on my education. Based on God. Unconditional dignity and respect for every person. It's incredible. Only He could pull it off. Also, in terms of family relationships, what does it do? Respect all of a sudden comes to the forefront. Young ones toward the parents. Parents shepherding the young ones, not exasperating the children. Community, looking out for one another. How can I help these other folks made in the likeness of God? International. I don't want to blow away Mexico. Okay. Created in the image and likeness of God. You know, you might say, well, don't speak in English and eat funny food. Created in the image and likeness of God. Respect everyone. And even more than that, not only unconditional respect, but unconditional love. Genesis chapter 1. Romans 13, rather. Whoever loves his fellow man has fulfilled God's law. So again, there's a person down in Irwin. Whoever loves their fellow man, person next to you in the pew, family member, Christian brother and sister, love that person, you'll fulfill God's law. Powerful message. Creation. Genesis chapter 1. We should all wear t-shirts, you know. Made in USA, that's good. Made in China, we don't know. We hope that's good. And then also, have a t-shirt. Made in God. Made by God. That would be the truth for all people. Takes care of all race relations. In Acts chapter 17, Paul said, He made all human beings from what? One race. One race. What race are you? I'm in the one human race. How about you? No. So that's the blessing. God's way, His mission, reaching out to people. Genesis 1 also, we meet Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for the first time. God says, let us make man in our image. So one God, expressing being three persons, the Hebrew plural word for God. So every time the Bible says God, who is God talking about? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You say, I love God the Father. I love God the Son. I love God the Holy Spirit. Okay. One God. And so that's the way He reveals Himself to us. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Okay, Vicky sang a wonderful song about the peace of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God. And I didn't know she was going to sing that song, and she didn't know I was going to mention the Trinity. But the Lord does that. I was going to say, the Lord told me first, though. Like, with it? No. But the creation of God, okay, that's not true. The creation of God. And what does God do for us, heaven and earth? Unconditional respect. And He gives us blessings right off the bat. He says, marriage is holy. God performed the first marriage of Adam and Eve. Okay. And work is holy. Before sin happened, people were working. Adam and Eve said, this is great. I love to do this and, you know, work the land and enjoy the gifts God brings. And rest was holy. But we've forgotten that. Okay. I stop and consider God. I stop my work and say, God is great. We stop trying to work for our salvation and we say, God, He'll work for our salvation. We'll receive and be changed by that. And the key, if anything in God's creation, is not to worship what He made, but to worship God. Thank Him for what He made. Now, don't worship marriage. Don't worship marriage. That's why people go to movies sometimes and where the romance is really like, go to this romantic movie and look how marriage could be, you know. So why don't you just live like marriage could be? Nothing wrong with the romantic movie. Don't worship marriage. Worship God. Follow God in marriage. Don't worship work. Some people do that. Not so many nowadays. But some people do. And then don't worship rest. Okay. Wasn't meant to be the idol. I can't wait until I can just rest 7 days a week. Rather to rest before God. The gifts of God in creation. And then there was calamity. Remember, that was the next word. Calamity. Adam and Eve, break God's command. And they go against God. And you and I repeat that every day in our heart. Do you ever get mad and say, boy, I wish Adam and Eve, they messed up the whole relationship between God and people. Well, do we do the same thing every day? You know, there's a command that we break every day in some manner. When one of my family members got hurt there in the hospital with a lot of pain, they actually said, oh, I wish Adam and Eve never would have sinned, you know. They're experiencing the fall of the world and the human predicament. And yet they knew we break God's command every day, the calamity that happens. God sees the evil of people and he says, oh, I see how great man's sin is, Genesis 6, and how terrible the earth had become. God was sorry that he even made man. His heart was filled with pain. So how does God respond to sin? There's pain. And he just doesn't let it run rampant. You know, he holds it back. He spares Noah and many, many animals. But he sends the flood to say, this is how I feel about sin. Whew. Gone. And someday that'll happen in a permanent manner. But the flood comes as a calamity. Destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah comes. No, I'm not going to let you just run amok in all your relationships and your sexuality. That's not gonna work. It hurts you. It hurts people. Destruction, the calamity that God brings, and we need His intercession. Looking at humanity itself, New York Times a number of years ago had an article called "What You Need to Know About War," and it was written by a secular guy, but just looked at history. How much of recorded history was there where there were no major wars? Okay, how much? The guy said about 8% maybe. In all of humanity, 92% of the time there are major wars going on. In the last century, there are 260 major wars just in the last 100 years. That's an argument against evolution of mankind. Because we don't know how to live side by side. We can't handle the gift of life. We're more familiar with killing. Okay. And murder. And if God intercedes, then we can have peace. But the Lord sees the calamity, but He don't leave us like that throughout the book of Genesis. Send that love, starting with the seed of the woman crushing Satan's head. Okay, there, he promised right after the sin of Adam and Eve, look, somebody's going to come and deal with evil itself, deal with the devil. And that points to Jesus, the Messiah, coming for you and for me. And then after the flood, God gave the promise, hey, I'm going to give life, through what I bring, not destruction through water. That happens. I'm going to bring salvation. And then God said, not only that, but I'm going to send somebody to the nations. A chosen person to bless, to a chosen nation to bless, to a Messiah who would bring blessing. And here comes Abraham. Here comes Israel. Here comes Christ to the rescue. Okay, that theme coming through the book of Genesis. God also gives other blessings in the midst of the whole experience. In Genesis 22, He gives a lamb to spare Isaac's life. Of course, pointing to Jesus the Messiah, the Lamb of God. He would be the sacrifice for the sins of the world, not what people would do. We can't do that. So you have a Savior, the Lamb of God. God will provide Himself a Lamb, Genesis 22. Genesis 15, another covenant promise. God says, Abraham, go to sleep. He goes to sleep in Genesis 15. God has a burning presence walk through some divided animals, and He says, I promise I will take care of the nation. I'll bring a nation out from you. God gives this promise while Abraham's sleeping. Isn't that great? He says, I'm going to bring you good news and salvation while you sleep. That's probably happened in history. Somebody goes to sleep. They don't know if God loves them. They wake up. I think God loves me 100%. You know, I went to sleep lost. I woke up saved. Some of you guys have done that in church. You slept and you woke up. Oh, I need the Lord. Yeah. Did it for Abraham. Did it for you and I. Christ, chosen, coming to people. Another blessing God gives in Genesis. Voluntary tithe begins. Right in the middle of worship. Okay, a tithe begins. Abraham. In Genesis 14, he's in a place of worship and he says, I give a tenth to honor God. Genesis 28, Israel, Jacob, he gives a tithe. He says, I want to honor God in Bethel, the place of worship, and I give one tenth. You've probably said, and some Christians say, yeah, with a tithe, you know, that's under Moses. We're not under Moses, you know. 400 years before Moses, these guys are saying, I love God, I give Him this. You see, they didn't have a worship leader reading and saying, okay, now the tithes and the offerings, bring them out here. Didn't check the bulletin, you know, for the stats. No, we're a little behind there on the stats. How about a tithe? It was because they loved God. All that other stuff, who knows where that came from. Okay, that's what happened. So, Abraham worshiping God, Jacob, Israel worshiping God. Just as an act of love to Him. And then the Lord reaching out, He blesses characters who go astray, Abraham, Isaac, He's not sure who to connect with, Jacob. And then the last child born to Jacob, Joseph. Okay, Joseph. Joseph, the troubled life. Very difficult life, but bringer of good news to many. Bringer of good news to the lost people in Egypt. And bringer of good news to an Israel that was trying to find its way, Joseph. And through Joseph, God blesses Israel and Egypt. Okay? And it would the Lord working in Genesis would forever connect those two groups of people. God's people and lost people. There would be a forever responsibility between those two. And God would send some bread of life to the lost through Joseph, and God would bless His own people so that they can know the goodness of the Messiah. Even at the end of Genesis 50, that was a fast jump from 22 to 50, but the Egyptian, they mourned for Joseph 70 days. You know, saying, we are sad because we know life without the blessing of God is no good. Life without God is no good. You know, and for the future, Egypt would somehow, even in their attack on the relatives of Joseph for another 400 years, They would somehow have a chance to hear of the Messiah. And actually, they would be used to protect young Jesus, as Joseph and Mary said, let's go to Egypt, you know, at least nobody's going to kill us there. Don't know about God's people, but we know the Egyptians will leave us alone. See? And so, the compassion of God going out to all the nations. And here Joseph, you know what? He thought his life was just about himself. He thought, oh, you know, let me tell you about my life. I had this happen and I had this loss of this and loss of that, and they were terrible things. But God says, hey, Joseph, I'm going to use you to bless people who need me. To bless people who need me. Now, that's God on a mission. God gives us that mantle also. You have a connection between yourself and lost people till Jesus comes back. And it's meant to honor God. And you know, we thank God for His faithfulness, His love toward the individual, toward the nation, toward His people, toward the lost people. And in closing, can you think, okay, I take God's promise for our own lives. You know, that He's going to bless us in spite of ourselves. He'll show His love to us. He'll show His covenant. He'll be there for us when we're not there for Him. And then He'll send us on the mission He's on. He's going to reach the lost Egyptians. I mentioned the first service in Isaiah when it talks about Jesus coming back and people who turn to the Lord. Egypt is mentioned as a big people group who say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Isn't that wonderful? So God's faithful mission, Genesis, and then all the way to knocking on the door of our hearts. Here we are, you know, many thousands of years later, and he won't be stopped. So might we pray and put our trust in Him today. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for Your good word. You're so faithful throughout history. We touch the highlights, but You're in the everyday also, Lord Jesus. Thank You. Moment by moment, You can keep us in Your love. And want that for our own soul and for the dear people here. As we think of Adam and Eve, Lord, who hid when there was sin. And they hid from You, hid from each other. Pray that we wouldn't hide from You or each other. We'd just put that before You and know that You'll crush the evil around us or in our own soul. Thank You for that. And be with people who need Your care. Facing hardships, be with Bill Turnsick, Lord, Georgia Connolly Turnsick's husband, that as he has heart surgery this week, give him protection, give him recovery, and good news. We pray for Carolyn Azevedo also, for Your help for her, Pearl Buchanan, and Ed Hammett, for Bob Schaefer, Lord, give him Your grace. Father, we pray for the city of Baltimore. You love the people there, and there's much sin. But we look for salvation to be stronger. We know when sin abounds, there's something going to abound all the more, and that would be grace. So what can You do, Lord, out of the mess? You can do much, and we thank You for that. Be with people who serve overseas, Rachel Wilson in Ethiopia, Daryl and Cheryl Fennessy in the Mideast. And Father, hear our silent prayers as we look to Your compassion to our hearts through us. As we forsake any calamity in our soul, if our soul is a mess with sin, we turn to You. And we embrace You in Your creation and Your covenant in Your name. Hear our silent prayers.